Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Agnostics, long-haired weirdos, short-haired weirdos, vandals,
hooligans. The government, hug the government, love the government, hug the government, love the government, hug the government.
Welcome to the Politics Guys, a place for bipartisan, rational, and civil debate on American politics and policy. I'm Michael Baranowski, professor of political science at Northern Kentucky University. I'm joined today by my conservative counterpart, Cleveland area attorney and defender of freedom, Jay Carson.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jay. So there, as always, there was a bunch that
we didn't get to off anything.
You know, really. we had a lot to say about the more than I would have guessed about the Republican debate.
There were so many people. That was part of the problem,
yeah,
I think.
And then I think just all the legal issues around the, you know, Trump's constitutional eligibility sort of thing. We kind of got into the weeds a little bit on that, but I thought it was an interesting discussion. Listeners did, too. So but anyway, there was plenty we didn't get to, and let's just jump right in. Donald Trump surrendered this last week at the Fulton County Jail in Atlanta, booked on, I think, 13 felony counts related to what he did or allegedly did in Georgia about the 2020 presidential election results. And, you know, he's kind of become an old hand at this, right? It's the fourth time he surrendered following criminal indictments. And I guess maybe he's learned from his experience because he takes a great mugshot, doesn't he? He's got a lot of, I won't call it a thing of beauty, but it was sort of like the essence, the distilled essence of Trumpiness in a way. And in fact, he was obviously really pleased with it, right? He posted it on X, which is his first new post there since he was banned from what was then
right.
known
he
as Twitter.
He didn't, yeah, need it. He was just going to do Truth Social.
Yeah, I love the caption he put with it below the mugshot, never surrender. And it's like, well, it was the mugshot that you took after you surrendered, but you know, whatever. But, you know, on that, I've noticed that in the last couple of weeks, there's been a really noticeable, a huge, really spiking concern on the right about the awful conditions at the Fulton County Jail. Last month, in fact, I should point out this is a serious issue, right? Last month, Attorney General Garland announced the federal civil rights investigation into the conditions there. There were like some serious allegations about living conditions, safety, violence, excessive force. So this is a no kidding thing, but there was this ridiculous, I think ridiculous, maybe you don't think it is, implication that Georgia officials were going to somehow intentionally put Trump and, you know, Giuliani and others in harm's way, hoping that they get shivved in the yard or something like that. I mean, just ridiculous stuff. It's not like the Secret Service for Trump, but oh yeah, just I guess we'll let you go and good luck to you, sort of thing. I think you agree that that's kind of ridiculous, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
But okay, I thought so, but I just wanted to check on that. But there actually is a more substantive element to all of this, at least an occurrence in the last week or so. Representative Jim Jordan, who's the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, as well as being a former guest on the show, though I should point out that's before he kind of went, I would consider full MAGA. But anyway, Jordan announced that his committee would be opening an inquiry into the Fulton County DA, Fannie Willis's investigation, looking at possible collaboration.
Fannie,
did I say Lewis?
You did it. No, you did the same thing because I did the same thing. Fannie Lewis is was a longtime Cleveland politician.
It's a Freudian, I guess, or whatever kind of
stuff. I was in prepping. I a couple times, kept saying,
thank you,
thinking Fannie Lewis as well. But no.
Thank you for the correction. Fannie Willis.
It's just our local work condition.
Exactly. So anyway, the argument or the contention is that she may have collaborated with the Biden administration, particularly Special Counsel Smith's office. And in a letter that Jordan sent to Willis, dated August 24th, he writes that your actions raise serious questions about whether they are politically motivated, pot, meat, kettle, and that Willis's indictment and prosecution raise significant federal interests, including attempts to use state law to regulate the conduct of federal officials and criminalization of protected speech. And in the letter, Jordan further argues that the threat of future state prosecution for official acts may dissuade federal officers from effectively performing their official duties and responsibilities. And Jordan is requesting a bunch of information from Willis, all of the documents, communications relating to her office's use of federal funds, documents and communications between her office and the DOJ or and any executive branch officials. And she is supposed to get him, his committee, those documents by September 7th, so 2 weeks from receipt of the request. And it's also rumored, I should point out, that Georgia Republicans, who have very solid control of all levels of state government, they may launch their own investigation into Willis's action. So, Jay, what do you, I guess I have two questions that are related. What do you think about specifically what Jordan is doing? And more generally, how do you feel about legislative bodies launching investigations into active criminal investigations or criminal prosecutions? So, because I think they're two separate things, but they're also obviously related.
Yeah. So the first, I think Jordan's correct in looking into this, given one, the nature of the charges, two, the timing of the charges, the sort of trying to get the trial set for Super Tuesday. The grand juror who had a lot to say, the alleged relationship between the prosecution and the grand jury while this was going forward. And I think you can say, well, Jordan's being political, but okay, we expect Congress to be politicized and you know, would sort of demand it. We don't expect prosecutors' offices to be politicized. And I think that's the distinction there. I do think we are in largely uncharted territory where you have local officials indicting former presidents, or perhaps, you know, could they try to indict a sitting president? I don't think they could constitutionally, but that's, you know, that's something we've talked about a bunch of times. But nor should we have a system where any time a president is out of office, they ought to then immediately fear that they could be prosecuted by anyone in any locality for acts they took in office, specifically acts that arguably relate to doing the job. So I think that's, he's entirely within his rights. We'll see what the response is. I have no issue with Congress looking at prosecution, because if there are prosecutions that are being brought improperly, of federal officials, then obviously I think that's an issue for Congress to look at, or help prosecutions brought improperly of anybody. So that's part of congressional oversight, part of state government oversight. So I think that his actions trying to get these documents are appropriate, and we'll see how Willis responds.
Now, of course, well, not of course, but it seems to me that let's play this out. I think, Jim, I would guess, I strongly suspect that Jim Jordan has already made up his mind about this, and he's just looking for evidence or something he can pass off as evidence to support it based on his past statements and so forth. But as you point out, we expect this sort of thing.
Right? I mean, if you're going to make the statement, then let's look for evidence.
Well, I mean, but you know what I'm saying. I don't think that Jim Jordan is not a disinterested searcher for truth here, I don't think.
In this, right. He's not going to say, good work, Fanny.
Right. I mean, so yeah, exactly. So he's looking to find a way to make her life difficult, to cast doubt upon anything that happens there. I mean, that okay. But it seems to me that from a legal standpoint, because this is a state matter, even though it Congress can investigate because it implicates federal interests and Congress provides or the federal government provides certain funds and certain support for the Fulton County DA's office, presumably, which is how they can justify looking into this in the first place. But even if they found, for instance, that there was all sorts of political collusion, if you will, there's really nothing that would prevent, that I can tell, nothing that would prevent this prosecution from going forward. Nothing Congress certainly could do that would overturn a state prosecution or a state conviction if Donald Trump were in fact convicted on any of these RICO charges in Georgia. Is that your take as well?
Yes and no. I think if you have evidence that shows that there is political motivation coming from Washington, for example, I think you could well have a civil rights claim.
But that would not invalidate the conviction.
Again, that's different. That's different than a defense against the charges.
That I think is why so many of the forever Trumpers are so concerned about the Georgia case in particular, because there is no way at the federal level to just basically erase it. I mean, Ramaswamy is president, right, in his wildest dreams, and he said day one, I pardon Donald Trump. Well, you can't pardon him from the state charges, and so
right, that's correct.
That this is why, you know, that's the wonder of federalism, I guess, in this sense.
I would have to, and again, I've not done a deep dive on this, and you know, the criminal law isn't necessarily my main area of practice. But I would wonder if there isn't, you wouldn't have sort of a federal habeas claim that the whole prosecution was based on an attempt to prevent him from running based on his, to deprive him of his constitutional rights and therefore ought to be thrown out. Now, again, that's farther down the road, obviously. And if nothing else, if there is information to be had, it may well be helpful in the defense of Donald Trump. That, you know, the defense attorney can argue this is a politically bad, I'm sure he will, but the more evidence they have, the better they can argue it. A purely political prosecution directed by his likely opponent in Washington. So we'll see what they find. I mean, they may not turn up that smoking gun. But then again, I didn't think that anyone would turn up smoking guns of emails between the White House and Facebook. So we'll see.
So how do you expect this to play out then? I mean, do you think
I expect that Georgia, Fannie Willis will drag her feet and say she's not going to produce stuff or she'll produce some stuff. They'll go back and forth a couple times. It maybe they produce nothing at some point. They hold her in contempt of Congress, which is fine. Nothing will happen to her. So as long as she stays away from Washington, D.C., and the Justice Department certainly will not attempt to prosecute that sort of contempt of Congress. That's the good contempt of Congress. I it could well play out that way. But there's political consequences, I think, if she refuses to say turn over that. If she says, I'm just not going to comply. Someone can draw the presumption that there is something to be found, perhaps.
I feel like this is a matter that's far more properly handled at the state level. And certainly if Georgia Republicans want to launch an investigation, they have the means and the numbers to do that sort of thing. And there was a time we talked about this in the regular show where a big part of being conservative meant that you believed that states had a certain sovereignty and autonomy to handle things that were state matters without the federal government jumping in. But of course, many of the modern Republicans don't believe anything of the sort, and they're just interested in getting their way. And if that means that the federal government flexes its muscles to impose upon the states, well, then they're okay with that. And I think that would...
I think Jordan's argument is just that the federal government has intervened. And that's the problem. And that's what they're seeking to investigate.
I see what you're saying.
Several months ago, the New York Times, the failing New York Times, reported from an anonymous source inside the White House conversations that Biden was upset with Merrick Garland because Trump hadn't been indicted yet, and that Biden wanted Trump indicted. That was the plan. That I think is ought to be troubling to.
Well, hold on. No. Let's stop right there for a second. So, because I think I agree with you on the facts, but then I think you take things to a level that isn't warranted. And what I mean is this: is if I'm Joe Biden and I think Merrick Garland is moving too slowly, I might say to someone, "Damn it, I don't understand. This guy is guilty as hell. Why hasn't Garland indicted him? I sure hope this happens soon." And it's one thing to say that. It would be weird if he didn't feel that way. But that's a whole different thing than Joe Biden saying, "Listen, get word to Garland that he either indicts him or I'm going to find myself a new attorney general," which is a much more Trumpian sort of thing. And I think you're right to say that, yes, this anonymous source says that the first thing happened. I have no problem believing that. That just seems like normal human emotional reaction. But arguing that because of that, therefore, Joe Biden must have put some sort of official or unofficial pressure.
I'm not arguing he must have or
did. Well, it sure sounded like you were.
As Henry II said, "Well, no one rid me of this turbulent priest." And then people did.
But that's not what Joe. I mean, that's a different thing. It's one thing. It's one thing for Joe Biden to say whatever he said about, "I wish there were a conviction," and that this is not, this is not whatever 14th, 15th century England when you have a monarch and that sort of thing. And so I just think it's just such a reach.
Let me ask it this way. Would you agree, though, that if you have a president who says something like that and it is publicly reported and you are the attorney general, would there be an effect on you? Could a reasonable observer say, the Democratic Party is always going on about...
Hold on, focus, Jay. You're asking two different questions here, and I don't want you to get off on a tangent. What is the question you want me to answer here? Because is it about perception?
Could a Biden call, assuming he said it, and why would the New York Times or the anonymous source lie? Could that be viewed as a dog whistle to Merrick Garland to get on it and get someone indicted? That's my first question. Could a reasonable observer come to that conclusion? I'm not saying it's right or it happened or not. I'm saying, could that be a perception of what happened?
Yes, a reasonable person could hear that and think, well, maybe the attorney general, having heard that, would feel some sort of pressure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So going back to Fannie Willis, I think, what Jordan is looking for is, are there any communications with the White House that says, "Fannie, can you indict this guy?" Whether direct or indirect.
Right. Now, these are two different things, though, right? I mean, let me be clear. If at any point Joe Biden, in talking with Merrick Garland, if another anonymous source said, Biden was in this conversation with Garland and said, "Damn it, Merrick, when are you going to indict this guy?" That would be one thing. But just him saying to a third party, right? I think you agree those are two very different things.
No, they're different. They're different. I wouldn't say they're very different things, but they're different things. One is absolutely direct evidence, and the other is circumstantial evidence.
Not evidence. No, one is an attempt to. One is, I think, almost inarguably putting some sort of a pressure directly on a subordinate official to do something. But if you're just talking to a third party with not necessarily any belief that this would get to this other person, that I mean, what Joe Biden is supposed to say to everyone around him, never to say in unguarded moment, no, of course, I just simply want the course of justice to take its course. And Donald Trump is deserving of the presumption of innocence, because that's how people talk throughout their entire lives.
No, because I believe, and you know, these people are grown ups. They're very smart. If you wanted to look him, and we're getting off on a tangent, but I think this is interesting because I think that, look, this is a little bit of how the game is played, right? If you were the president, and if you really wanted the attorney general to feel some pressure to indict, would you pick up the phone and call him and say, damn it, Merrick, I want this guy indicted tomorrow?
If you're Donald Trump, you would do that. Yeah. Okay. So right. Yes.
Or if you are more sophisticated, if you have more nuance, if you have more style, would you have someone anonymously leak an alleged conversation to a friendly media outlet indicating that you would really like Merrick Garland to indict this guy?
You're familiar with, I know you're familiar with the concept of Occam's razor, right? Okay. And so you are, I would argue you are violating that by essentially creating a far more convoluted theory of what happened and why it happened that happens to maybe fit with a certain ideological narrative, where the far simpler theory of what happened was that Joe Biden, in an unguarded, what he thought was private moment, said something that an anonymous source thought would be a fun little tidbit to share with the Times. And so that person did that. That's by far the simplest, most straightforward explanation for this. And of course, I should point out I heard that dismissive. Yeah. It's interesting to me that it seems like you are putting a lot more faith in anonymous sources to the New York Times when they are disparaging of Joe Biden than you would if they were disparaging of other figures who you might happen to support more.
You're completely missing my point, which is this is the anonymous source. It wasn't meant to disparage Joe Biden. It was planted.
Planted by whom?
By Joe Biden, by the administration.
I got you. Joe Biden, Machiavellian mastermind who desperately wants to speed up the prosecution of Donald Trump by Merrick Garland. And
how do I put public pressure on Merrick Garland to get a move forward with an indictment? I don't want to have any fingerprints saying, oh, he called him and told him to do this. I don't want to force my hand. I don't want to put Merrick Garland in a position where he says, Mr. President, I refuse to just prosecute a political opponent. I resign. But what I like to do is build media and public pressure to do so. This is how campaign or how communication strategies work in politics. Is you float it, you get it out there with someone else. These are called whisper campaigns. That's what I'm saying.
But you're missing an important distinction. It's one thing to get a whisper campaign about some sort of action or something about a person that doesn't require or that doesn't involve what would be official corruption. And this is official. This would be if Joe Biden sought to influence the attorney general's decision about bringing charges against his likely political opponent in the upcoming election, that would be impeachable level political corruption.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me you are starting from the assumption that, well, let's start from the assumption that Joe Biden did this and work the facts to fit that.
I'm saying what would be, let's put it this way. Do you think Joe Biden is sitting at home saying, well, I've got one major opponent out there. I hope he doesn't get indicted, and I hope we can have a good, clean election and talk about the issues. Or do you think, and when I say Biden, I mean, maybe I shouldn't just say mean Joe Biden himself, the man. I mean, sort of the the operation, right? The campaign staff, the people around him, the people who are coming up with the strategies, the communications team, all that sort of thing. Do you think Joe Biden does not want Donald Trump to have these legal problems?
I certainly think Joe Biden and the Biden organization, if you will, more generally, the campaign team absolutely wants Donald Trump to have as many legal problems as possible. Yes.
Okay. And so I that's what I'm saying. I guess I'm not saying it's not some sort of conspiracy theory or I'm reading something, some weird motivation into what's happening. It's sort of that's what you would expect to happen. But back to Fannie Willis, I do think it's not a state issue if you have the federal government in the form of the president or the president's campaign weighing in, trying to get a political rival indicted.
Right.
Federal civil rights case.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But I guess what I was saying is that there can be undue pressure, but these two things can both be true. It can be true that there was may have been, I don't certainly we would I would assume a presumption of innocence, right? I mean I've said that for Donald Trump, that it may be the case that people that there were inappropriate communications between Willis's office and federal officials. But it may also be the case that Donald Trump is guilty of some or all of the charges despite those inappropriate communications.
Absolutely both of those can be true.
We hope you enjoyed this preview of our supporters exclusive midweek show. If you'd like to hear the rest of the episode, we hope you'll consider becoming a supporter. Supporters get ad-free access to all of our shows, membership in our Politics Guys Discord group where you can join in on the conversation, and other benefits at different levels of support. To become a supporter, go to patreon.com/politicsguys. You can also support us through Venmo, we're @politicsguys, or through PayPal. You'll find all of our support links in the show notes as well as at politicsguys.com/support. And if you'd like to get the midweek show, but you're not in a position to become a financial supporter, that's not a problem. Just send me an email at mike@politicsguys.com, and I'll be happy to get that set up for you.